Welcome back to the Barca Breakdown. It's funny to use that the name of the the YouTube channel and podcast is the Barca Breakdown when we're actually watching Barca Breakdown in front of us. My name is Adam. I'm here with my co-host, Yus.
Hey, guys. Yeah, as Adam's saying, what a terrible day for Barca fans. Barca literally broke down.
Sometimes, Yus, I hate hope, right? Because it's such a killer, but gives you so much joy. I mean, okay, after last year, the 8-2 against Bayern, after Roma, after Liverpool, right, after, I think that was all of them. You think about
Granada.
It, and somehow, well, Granada too, and I guess now we're going to say Levante. And Levante was also the team, it was away at Levante, who broke us on that possible undefeated season, if you remember that joy of a game under Valverde. But I digress. I had so much hope, Yus. And, you know, ever since the international break, like, you know, we might sound like broken records, but ever since the international break, it was clear something had switched in the team and that we didn't have that same passion and fire that we saw in the Copa comebacks and against Sevilla in La Liga. And, yeah, I still had hope, Yus. And, you know, we talked about it in the last podcast. But we had three games. If we won out all three and Atletico dropped one game and Madrid dropped 1 point, we could be La Liga champions. And yet you think back to all those games, right? And I was looking at the field today. Once Koeman, in his infinite wisdom, and, you know, I have always been a Koeman second year guy, but even now I'm having a hard time defending that. But then I looked at the field after Araujo got injured and was replaced by Sergio Roberto at halftime, and I saw a back line of Alba, Lenglet, Piqué, Sergio Roberto, and Busquets on the field. And of course the defense collapsed, right? Like, you know, as much as we love Busquets and Piqué for being Barca legends, as much as Lenglet has looked better since the Cadiz game, as much as Alba had times this season where he was scoring and assisting, like, you know, almost the best version of him we've seen. I mean, you just get those five players as the back line in a big game, and I was sitting there and I was like, no, they're not going to really do it again, right? These players who have at one time or another been some of my absolute favorite of all time, just again in a big moment, they kind of crumbled.
I mean, I agree with you. It's just hard to, you know, and we've talked about on the recent pods, you asked me, or recent YouTubes, you've asked me, like, what do I think about Koeman and how he's handled the season and what, you know, coming into next year. But, you know, part of this is not just the player's fault. I mean, especially in today's game, you're talking about Sergio Roberto coming in again, right?
Again?
It's terrible. I mean,
we had the video about, you know, Emerson coming and about Sergio wanting the contract renewal, and we were like, hey, you know what? Thank you, Sergi, but no thanks, right?
Yeah.
And even as someone who's from La Masia and who has meant a lot for this club and had some big moments that he's lived on for like 5 years, even with all those things, you can respect him and not start him or put him on as the first sub in these big games, right? The craziest part is, and this, you know, I think we need to go into a little bit more of Koeman because we've been Koeman supporters and we got some flack on the last video because we weren't, you know, saying that Koeman should have put in Ricky Pooch, although we'll have a video coming up shortly about Ricky Pooch to kind of, you know, clear the air of what we think and take another look at Ricky. But Araujo gets injured, and then you put in Sergio Roberto, and you don't switch it to a 4-3-3. He kept a 3-5-2 in that second half with Sergio Roberto playing as a right center back. I mean, it's so dumb, Yus, right? Because even in that first half, right, let's go through the game a little bit. In the first half, what do we have? We have Messi, who's able to score a crazy volley from an Alba cross. We had Pedri, again, as we've talked about this whole season, having some woes shooting. He had two clear opportunities he could have put in. He doesn't convert. Dembele looked like a lost man until, you know, around the 36th minute or so. Messi, on a little bit of a break, passes Dembele. Dembele shows his quick pace. He's able to cross it in, and Pedri gets a little tap in for a goal, right? And so we go into halftime. It's 2-0. But I think all during that first half, we all saw, right? Araujo picked up a little bit of an ankle injury, it seemed like, and we saw Sergio Roberto warming up on the sidelines. And I was just sitting there like, no, we can't really be going through this again. We put in Sergio Roberto, and then Yus lead him through the second half and what went down.
Okay, Sergio Roberto comes in, and he's pretty much our right back where I would hope Mingueza would have come in. But let's move past that. Anyway, ball comes in. Levante crossed the ball in. The attacker just goes right over Roberto, scores a header in the goal.
Boom.
Nothing Stegen can do about it. Immediately after that, not a few minutes later, is a second goal coming up. I don't understand how after the first goal we just shut down, and this is the biggest problem with Barcelona lately, is we something happens, something bad happens, some whatever happens, a goal goes in, or I don't care what happens. Something bad happens. And
the floodgates open.
Yes, floodgates open. We get punched in the mouth.
Boom, another one.
And then another goal goes in, and now we're shook. What do we do now, right?
2-2. Yeah. And then Dembele comes out, and Dembele scores a screamer, and we're up 3-2, right? And things are looking, okay, mm-hmm. Hey, we can hold on to this lead. Oh, wait a minute. Ronald Koeman is putting in Braithwaite, mm-hmm. right, for Griezmann. Mm-hmm. He's putting in...
He puts in Dest.
Dest.
He puts in Mingueza, and he takes out Dembele, who just had scored that goal to make our 3-3 yep. equalizer, and that is the only guy on the field that seemed to have any pace, right?
Yeah, and then he takes out Roberto. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the record. The right? He comes on in the second half and is off in the second yeah. half. And he puts on Ricky Pooch for about 8 minutes. Ricky Pooch looked a little bit threatening, but overall, I mean, you know, the team, like you said, we just get punched in the mouth and then we just crumble. And, you know, it goes back to what I started the video on. It's not just that we have these coaches who we don't like. You know, it's that back five. It's Alba, Lenglet, Piqué, Sergio Roberto, and Busquets. Like, how many times can they be the backbone of a huge, devastating loss in a big game? And we say, hey, let's just try them again next season, right? And so I think the first thing as we look on to next season is, you know, we need Laporta to come in and get some alternate money sources and get, you know, probably need to get rid of Piqué and Lenglet, right? I think Araujo has shown himself to be a great player. And, you know, Mingueza can be a serviceable bench player for the next, you know, few years. Eric Garcia hopefully is coming. But, you know, a lot of that blame is going on the players, which I don't think is right. I think a lot of the blame of this game has to go on Ronald Koeman. Right, Yus? I mean, what were those substitutions? What, like, how in a game where we're up 3-2 does he put on more offensive subs? It's just, like, it's baffling to me. And then the way he put Sergio Roberto as a right back, my patience, Yus, and my long-held belief that we need to give Koeman, the Barca club legend, a second year has come to an end.
I mean, it's really hard. I totally agree with you. Like, how can we wrap our heads around someone we were trying to defend for a while, because look, we've had Valverde and Setien over the last few years, and you know, we criticize Valverde all the time. There was so many Valverde outs, and
all the time.
We didn't want to just go and say, okay, Koeman came in, he, you know, he was handed a bad hand, and that he, you know, he tried to improve Barcelona's play. He tried to he brought us
he
back.
Did.
He did, but you cannot have control of FC Barcelona and play Sergio Roberto again after everybody can see that Sergio Roberto is offering nothing to the team, right? That is
100%.
Yeah.
And he, you know what I think it really boils down to, Yus, is if you just take a look at our record in big games, mm-hmm. and we've read it off so many times,
sure.
right? Juventus at home, you know, Granada now, you know, Cadiz, losing to Real Madrid twice, you know, losing to Atletico the first game and drawing the mm-hmm. second game. I mean, in every game that was big, we pooped the bed, as they say, right? I mean, we just, we've never come out in these big games and gotten it right. And there's been so many big games this season. Obviously, we won the Copa del Rey. You know, there were some big wins against Sevilla and Villarreal and Real Sociedad, but it's just too many big games where it seems like the rails have come off the train here. And you know what's so perplexing is how we came into the at the beginning of the international break, mm-hmm. we were the hottest team in Europe. We were doing really good besides losing to PSG, but you know, it really seemed between the first leg of PSG when we lost 4-1 and the 1-1 draw that we had gained a lot there and we'd grown a lot. And so, you know, we lose to PSG in the Champions League. It's not our year. You know, bad hand to begin the season. It's great where we came, and we built so much momentum. And then the second half came of the, you know, after the international break, and we really just, we screwed the bed. And, you know, I think what it kind of goes into the Ricky Pooch discussion, Yus, is that we didn't really use enough players throughout the season to keep anyone healthy and fresh, right? I mean, we dealt with a lot of injuries. Sergio Roberto got injured, although that might have been a good thing, I guess. Coutinho was injured. Mm-hmm. Fati was injured.
Piqué was injured. Yeah.
Araujo was injured. Like, Dest was injured at one point. We had a lot of injuries, but at the same time, it never seemed like Koeman was using alternate players to keep our legs fresh, especially with such an old team, right? Like, how many games have we played Pedri, Busquets, and De Jong mm-hmm. in 2021? Like, almost every game. And then, you know, when we speak of man management by Koeman, Ricky Pooch, you know, looks like he's been frozen out the whole season, and could he have provided some rest for Pedri?
Of course.
Would we be in a better place if Pedri was, you know, rested throughout the season? Yes, right? Mingueza, right after that game where Mingueza and Koeman got into a little bit of a spat because Mingueza ran forward when Koeman wanted him to stay back because he was in the back three. It looks like Mingueza has been kind of frozen out too, right? Dembele has also been absent the last few games when it looked clear in this game against Levante. Sure, Dembele's still a little bit rough on the edges, but hey, he scored a threatening goal and he had an assist, right? So it's just like, I don't know what to do with Koeman, and I've just lost all my faith.
Yeah, I have a hard time finding the lack of consistency in Barcelona, right? We look at our, you know, the game before Levante, we drew at Leti 0-0. That is a hard team to play against. And now we come in against Levante and we score three goals, but we can't hold them back, right? Like, why is there so many times where we can only do a good defensive game, but we can't score, or we score, but our defense is terrible, so they score. There's so much inconsistency on both sides of the ball that it seems like there's no calculation, there's no formulation in Koeman right now in creating a cohesive team which consistently produces results, right? At the end of the day, results are what matters. We just lost 4 points, dropped 4 points in the last two games because we drew two teams. One of them we should not have. This Levante we should not lose against. Granada we should have not lost against. We should have. Those were two opportunities to take the top of the table. Even if we took the top of the table this time, Atleti would have still had a chance. Madrid would have still had a chance. Yeah. But
league's gone.
We're minimizing the chances of that happening. But now at this point, Koeman seems to just throw away these things, and we end up just slapping ourselves in the face and just, you know, we have no, like you said at the beginning of this podcast, this is a perfect way to put it. Hope is a terrible thing. I was really hoping, you know, even when I saw Madrid drew Sevilla, I was like, wow, you know what? There's still a chance.
Have a
chance. Exactly.
Well, you know what's also crazy, Yus, uh-huh. is we have the best goal differential in La Liga, and we have 83 goals scored. Mm-hmm. That's a full 22 above any other team. And what it really shows me is, you know, we're able to score and to, you know, really push around some of these smaller teams, and that's good and all. And hey, that makes me happy. And listen, Koeman led us to a Copa del Rey victory. You know, we might have gotten a little bit lucky that we didn't play Atletico or Real Madrid in the final, but, you know, we still won the Copa. But it's just every big game, the team's been falling flat, and, you know, it leaves such a bad taste in your mouth, especially when, you know, you want to say Koeman deserves another season. Like, after the way this season ended, it's hard. But let's go on to some players, because I think there's some things we should talk about, right? One, you know, we don't need to make this a totally anti-Sergio Roberto channel, but he gets paid more than Virgil van Dijk, and we saw what he did today, right? Here's another thing, Yus. We talked about this a little bit in a few of our videos, but I feel like Ter Stegen gets beaten near post really often.
I mean, I have my gripes with Ter Stegen nowadays, so you don't have to tell me. He's not saving enough, for sure.
True. I mean, you know, looking forward, the really hard part here is, like, who would we replace Koeman with? And I don't feel like there's a good answer.
No.
You know, I think in the world of soccer or football, we've seen that, you know, Pirlo went into Juventus shortly after he was done playing. Didn't turn out well. Lampard went into Chelsea shortly after playing. He got fired mid-season, and then they got Thomas Tuchel, and now Chelsea are in the Champions League final, mm-hmm. right? And so, you know, I think Chelsea are kind of a good showing that, you know, switching from a coach who doesn't have a great tactical mind to one who does can really make a big difference. And, you know, we have so much young talent on this team that I really hope, you know, we review and see what the best option is for us next year, even as not that many coaches are left. So where do you stand, Yus? I mean, after this Levante game, after Granada, after Atletico, after Real Madrid, after only beating Valladolid in the 90th minute, what is our path forward with our coach?
I don't know what coaches are out there that are seasoned enough to take on Barcelona right now that don't already coach another team, right? I mean, even if...
Well, here's a better way to rephrase it without considering those people.
Sure.
If we start next season and you look on that sideline and you see Komen, how are you going to feel?
Oh, man. Here's the thing. And, you know, all of this stuff leading up to it, I'm mad. I'm not happy about this. Everything that's been going on with his inconsistencies frustrates me. It reminds me of Valverde back in the day. So, you know, I'm not going to be happy. I am willing, here's the biggest thing, I am willing to give him another chance to start the season off fresh and not coming into a team that seemed to have so many problems, so many political problems, financial, and I mean, they're still going to have financial problems, but, you know, Laporta is going to work on that, and maybe we can sell or purchase some players, whatever the case may be. And maybe Komen will drop his, maybe his ego a little bit, and make better decisions. Maybe he'll decide to play Puch and rest some of the players like Pedri and maybe not play Aleix. Or maybe he'll play Aleix and Puch together in some smaller games to see how it goes, right? I think he needs to maybe... I'm willing... Here's what I'll say. I'm willing to give him a chance to show that he can make better decisions and to drop his ego. If he can do that at the beginning of next season, when we're fresh, you're able to make more chances or take more chances, I will say okay. But as it stands right now, if there was another option, I would be more than willing to look at that option.
Well, with that, guys, if you would tell us in the comments, we like that you guys have been commenting, mm-hmm. and we really appreciate it if you subscribe. We're up to, I think, 105 now, trying to get to 1,000. That's the next big goal.
Let's go.
You know, let us know your thoughts. Should we keep Komen? Does Ter Stegen need more competition? Is Piqué still able to play at the highest level? You know, Lenglet, how is his future looking at the team? Any of these things you guys have thoughts on, please hit us in the comments. And thank you guys so much for listening.
Thanks, guys.